Great, good afternoon everyone. If you don't know me, my name's Dan and I'm part of the leadership here at The Oak. Great. Right, we're going to make a start. We often have dreams of what our home is going to look like. Many of you will know kind of what that potentially feels like. Never-ending lists of jobs that need doing, things that need fixing, dreams to change or dreams to move, improvements that you want to make. It never feels done. There's always something on the list. And certainly, we've definitely found that over the last couple of years. In God's church, God's kingdom, He is building something. He has got a home that He is building with us. He is building something in us and through us. He is wanting to build a people for Himself that stretches across the nations, every tribe, everyone, and His home isn't finished yet. He has still unfinished business to do, and He is doing it through us. In the book of Acts, the series we've been working through over the last couple of months is looking at what He is continuing to do through the church, through us. Luke, who's the author of the book of Acts in the Bible, in the first line of the book he writes, "In my former book, I wrote about what Jesus began to do and to teach." His first book, the Gospel of Luke, one of the four Gospels in the Bible, looks at Jesus' life, his birth, life, death, resurrection, all of his healings, teachings, and who he was, what he had promised. And then in his second book, in the book of Acts, he is writing about what God continues to do through the church, the first church, which is part of our history. We are heading towards the end of this series on Acts, and at this point, Paul is on his way, kind of on a journey back to Jerusalem, on a mission to get there, to appeal to Caesar as to why he shouldn't be in prison. He has this gut feeling deep down that he's going to die when he gets there. On this journey travelling back to Jerusalem, Paul meets with the elders of a church that he started and kind of grew that church, a church in Ephesus. He met with these elders. Today we're going to look at some of these, kind of his last words to these guys before he leaves, most likely his final words to them. Paul wants to remind them about what he has done, how the gospel has been at work in his life and through his life, how he was with them when they first met Jesus, and how they are now leading the church in Ephesus. The gospel was powerfully at work in his life, night and day. In chapter 20 of Acts, in verse 32, which is where we're going to spend most of our time today, he reaches the pinnacle of his speech. He's going to his death, and he is directing them so that they will keep walking with Jesus and continue to tell others about their faith. If Paul was with us today and said, "I want you to live by these things, remember these things," we would listen today, wouldn't we? This is exactly the situation that the Ephesian elders find themselves in. This is what he says. "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Looking at these verses, we see Paul's commitment to something really worthwhile. We see that he is committed to God's word and he is committed to God's people. Firstly, we're going to take a look at that first verse, verse 32. "The word of his grace, the message of his grace, is able to build you up, encourage you, and give you an inheritance to all those who are sanctified, those who have given their lives to Jesus." And so that first bit, "I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up." The word of his grace is able to make you strong. It's like a pillar within you, a strength deep inside of you. Life tends to break us down. Many Christians rely on Sunday to build them up again, but by the next Friday we are broken down again. We desire and are desperate for our holidays. We are desperate for rest. They are great, they give us a break. But when we go back to normal life, we are the same person, nothing has changed. Therefore, by the next week, we are lacking strength again. But when we read the Bible, the Word of God, it builds us up. This is what this verse is saying. It gives us more joy, more strength. That in itself is amazing. However, the verse talks about the Word of grace, not just the Word of God. The Word in this context here is talking about the message of the Gospel, the message of good news. When Paul is writing to the church here and talking about the word of grace, he is talking about the message of good news. Grace is the love and mercy given to us by God because God desires us to have it, not because of anything we have done to earn it. Therefore, this word of grace that Paul is talking about, this gospel message that is told in the scriptures, the message about what Jesus has done for each of us, this word of God, God's unlimited grace towards us, is able to build us up. How incredible is that? The words of the Bible are from God, and therefore we should use the Bible to direct and build up our lives. We should give this book authority over our lives. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus says, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." I love my food, but I also need food. What Jesus is saying here is that we don't just depend on food, but actually in a similar way, we depend on every word that comes out of the mouth of God himself. If the word is good for me and can build me up, grow my faith and strengthen me, I should probably fill my mind with it. Because of this, we should desire to read scriptures more and more. The benefits of doing so are endless. God loves us to grow in our relationship with him by reading his word. Then the same verse continues on, says, "Now then, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance. Therefore, the word of God's grace is able to give you something, that inheritance." What is he talking about in that situation, in that verse? Well, the inheritance Paul sometimes talks about is the kingdom of God. Twice in 1 Corinthians and once in Galatians, both other books that Paul has written, says that people who continue living in sin away from God will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's the inheritance Jesus talked about when the rich young ruler came and asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" In Luke 18, he said that. It's what Jesus meant when he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth," in Matthew 5. This inheritance is salvation, the kingdom of God, the new heavens, the new earth, eternal life with him, the presence of God with the people of God. This is what Paul says the word of grace is able to give the elders at Ephesus and able to give the rest of the church. And then it continues to say, it says, "Give you that inheritance among all those who are sanctified." The sanctified are the ones who receive this inheritance. So to receive the inheritance of eternal life and the kingdom of God and everlasting joy, you have to be sanctified. In short, sanctified is just a complicated way of saying that your heart is changed so that you love God and hate the things that don't honour and glorify him. So the sanctified are the people of God, anyone who would call themselves the Christian. So Paul is directing the church in Ephesus to let the word of God direct their lives so that they can be built up and live in the freedom of knowing that they will have eternal life with God. This is such an amazing truth, one that we can't just keep to ourselves. One of the amazing things about how the Word of God, the Bible, builds us up is that it enables us to go and tell others about this amazing inheritance so that others can receive the message of God's grace. The well-known verse in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." We are called to go and make disciples. We realize that following Jesus means that we have to give everything up, that we have to follow him. Yet at the same time, we realize that it's good, it's a good thing, that it's something we were born and made to do. At times it may feel overwhelming or impossible, but that is why Jesus said he was going to leave us his Spirit. The Spirit empowers us and leads us, enables us to accomplish the mission that he has given us. As Christians, we have a mission. There can be a huge weight that we feel when we realize what God is calling us to do. Yet there is a much, much greater reality. God doesn't want me to do this by myself. He doesn't want you to do it by yourself. He hasn't called me to go out on my own. That is why he created the church. He says, now you are part of a group of people. You don't have to do this by yourself. Often when people think of church, they think of a building or they think of a service. That's not what the Bible talks about when it talks about church. The church is the people on this planet who follow God and are filled by the Spirit. We, today, the Oak, are part of the church. As the church, we should be a family together. A family that shares, and not just thoughts and ideas, but sharing of everything together, of caring for each other. We are part of something much, much bigger. In Acts 4, verse 32, it says, "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had." There is a sense of mission together. This is what being a church family means. It's the idea that we are one in heart and one in mind. We are called to proclaim who Jesus is, and we can't do that by ourselves. I can talk as much as I want to others about Jesus. I can keep telling people that Jesus forgives them. But by having others alongside me as a family of believers, we can show who Jesus is to the world. As a family, when we offend each other, when we wrong each other, we can forgive and we can keep forgiving. We can reflect Jesus into these situations. What the world sees, when the world sees this happening, they see Jesus through us. People are seeing the attributes of Christ, and this is the church's responsibility. God's plan was always and is always for a family-style community. That is the church. There is something about our unity that makes others see Jesus. To be honest, like many of you, or not, I'm an introvert, and it sometimes sounds a bit, kind of a lot easier if we didn't have to be a big family. Wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to kind of put up with different personalities, different disagreements, and arguments within the church? Let me just have my own relationship with Jesus. But God says that's not how he created us. He wants us to show Jesus by loving each other and by the way we interact with each other. We aren't meant to be in isolation. That's going against everything God has planned and has asked us to do. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it." It's not something we have to force. We don't have to make ourselves be a big family. It's how God designed the church. It's already happening. The question is, do you want to be a part of it? Do you want to have this unity, this sharing, this caring that God has for his church so that the world can see Christ through us? It's a massively exciting time for the Oak right now. From the start, we've always set out to do just this. Our life group structure allows us to build genuine, deep friendships and family that give glory to God by us just being together and enjoying life together, leading each other towards Christ in the process. What would your life group do differently and to make sure that you're growing closer as a family and deeper in the Word of God? What could your life group do differently? as we go into a new year, what could your life group do differently? Our Oak communities were created around this idea of being family together, to enjoy spending time with each other, to be able to show Jesus to others in our communities. They are amazing places for our friends, neighbours, work colleagues to experience a bit more of Christ. As we move into the new year, what community could you be starting? Who could you be inviting? Our Sunday gatherings are set up in a way that encourage relationship and family. We eat together regularly and love being with each other. God designed his church to be a family. You're probably wondering why I've got penguins on the screen. Penguins are wonderful creatures, one of my favourite, in fact. They're the only creature on Earth to breed in the Antarctic winter, so their survival is in jeopardy when the temperatures fall to minus 40 degrees. I've just got a quick film which just shows you a little bit more of how penguins interact. It's about a couple of minutes, but it really makes a really good point. So just watch this, it'll work.
To breed in the coldest place on Earth, emperor penguins must also become part of the crowd. Their chicks are born in the depths of the Antarctic winter. Their only protection from the cold is their parents' brood pouch. But as winter storms set in, this isn't enough. As temperatures reach 40 below, even the adults' only chance of survival is to huddle together. They start to waddle with a single purpose. All converge on the same central point until a huddle begins to form. Each penguin must find a place to tuck in. But by speeding up the action, it's clear that something more organized is going on. Soon, the huddle numbers thousands, and still more keep coming.
I don't know if you like that or not, but I love penguins, so I definitely appreciated it. But isn't it amazing, as you watch that happen, as the penguins care for each other, as they kind of create their only way of survival, that others flock to them. Like, that group started out a bit earlier in the film, which I didn't show you, with probably a group of about 50 penguins. By the end of this film, it gets to somewhere near 10,000. It's just, for me, it's just a huge picture of the church and how actually, as a family, it is an inviting place. It's a place where people are drawn to. It's a simple picture, but it really reminds me of the church. In both Acts 4 and Acts 20, Paul encourages us to share all that we have with others in need. We want to bless others, both those in the church and those outside it. As the Oak, we want to be a generous church in how we bless those in need. Our vision for next year, as Chris has mentioned today already, is to have a base for mission, a building which will allow us to be a church family in our own place. We want to make a bigger impact in the communities around us. We want to give others the opportunity to see Christ in us and through us. By having a building, it will allow us to do so much more to be able to welcome people into the family of God. Paul had this kind of family relationship with the elders in Ephesus. Verses 36 to 38 of Acts 20, which I read out at the start. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. You aren't sad when somebody leaves if you are connected and have a deep friendship with them. For the elders, this was probably the last time they were going to see Paul. And as a family of believers, this brought great sadness to them. As we head towards Christmas, we celebrate Christ first coming into the world to be among us, to restore our relationship with God, to enable us to have a personal relationship with Him. By Christ coming into the world, He restored family through the church. He has enabled us to each have a personal relationship with Him, but also be a family together, centered around Him. This Christmas, if you have said yes to following Jesus, you are part of His family. You are part of the wider church family. And by being here, you are part of the Oak family. We have the awesome privilege of following God's word, being built up and strengthened by His word and His grace, so that we can go and make disciples in our communities as a family together. We aren't by ourselves. As we serve and bless our community next Sunday, and in the coming months and years, we can show who Jesus is by being part of the family that Jesus Himself made possible. If you haven't said yes in your heart to following Jesus, you are so welcome here today and to be part of His family. I would love to give you the opportunity to say yes to following Jesus. As we celebrate and worship God now, we're going to sing a great Christmas carol in response to what He came to do for each of us, to give each of us the opportunity to have a personal relationship with Him and be part of His family. I would love each of us to respond afresh to Him, to submit our hearts again to His word and to serving this world together. We have the most amazing message of grace and joy that we can share. So we're just going to sing a carol. Which I'm going to find the word.